coming weeks, I don't know if you've noticed in your bulletin, we have a schedule of different topics that we're going to be covering in the next 12 weeks or so, inspired by our youth. And of course, the adults filled out some questions as well. Some of those are pretty tough, too. And we'll be covering some of those on our Wednesday night Bible study in the coming weeks as well. But if you could, if you ever ask yourself the question, if you could sit next to Jesus in the flesh, you were to come into this room right now, and you would sit across the table from Jesus, what would that be like? He just comes and sits down, and here's you.
Fear.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord. What would you ask him? What would you want from him? What is on your heart? What would you ask him about school? What would you ask him about your work? What would you ask him about your home? If you could sit down and talk with Jesus, what would you ask him to do right now? We're getting our slides up there ready, I think. Is it working okay back there?
No.
Not really?
Not really.
Okay, I'm coming back there. Because this is a visual generation. And the kids like to see these pictures. Not kids, I just.
While you're all doing that, I was just thinking about the last line of that song. All I have is yours. I love doing things myself. I think I'm pretty handy at a few things. And I like to do things myself. I want to do things myself. But there's so much in the spiritual world that I just can't do. I don't have any talent. I don't have any power. I don't have enough knowledge to do it. And if God doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. And yet, time after time, I find myself taking things back that I didn't even before. And I selfishly grab the hope and beauty and think, I can do this, I can do this. But then I find out one more time that I really can. And I turn it loose, and it just feels so much better. It feels so much better knowing that he's got it. Because when he's got it,
by reading. So open your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, grab one in front of you. Psalm 27, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, get out of the continent. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. And you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Or in Psalm 27, verse 9. "Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. As we read this passage of Scripture, and we're talking about questions for Jesus this morning, we want our questions to be answered. The first thing that we need to realize is that we have to look in the right direction. And the truth is that Jesus wants us to come to Him with questions. Have you ever been afraid to ask God? Or maybe you just didn't want to know and raise your hand and say, Pastor, what about this? Or Jesus, what about this? And you're thinking, well, I should know this by now. You're just like any of us. I still have questions that I have to ask. So Jesus welcomes us with these questions. You know what that tells me about if you have questions? That means you have an inquiring, seeking heart, like David had. So one thing I'm going to ask and seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In fact, Jesus, God, created us with a desire to be in a relationship with Him. Now, have you ever felt lonely before? How many have felt lonely before? Do you know what that is? That's God's desire that He put in your heart to be in a relationship with Him. How many have worried before? You know what that is? That's the desire God's put in our heart to trust in Him. When Jesus comes into our life, He invites us, He creates us for a relationship with Him. He desired to be connected with humans so much that He gave us the Bible, which reveals how we can be connected to God through His death, burial, and resurrection. So I'm going to connect with God today. Your questions are the connecting point with God, because that is an inquiring and a seeking heart for Jesus. But He begins the psalm by saying, what? The Lord is my... You all quoted Psalm 23. We're in Psalm 25. We fooled you this morning. It says, the Lord is my light and salvation. That's good. If we want our questions answered, we have to look in the right direction. So, when you have questions, where do you go to first? Sometimes, I don't know about you, I pull out my iPhone and my iPad and I say, okay, I'm going to look it up and see what it says online. But you know what? Well, here's some funny things, too. When we get a rash, or you all will relate to this, if we get a spot on us or something that just doesn't look right with our health or our body, a lot of us, what do? We get online and we go to Dr. MD, and then we listen to other people's comments, and pretty soon something that was just an insect bite is something horrific. I have a plague because we read stuff online. Not everything online is accurate to our situation, right? So God so desires to be connected with humans so much that He gave us His Word, the Bible, so that we can connect with Him. But we have to look in the right direction. So, is Jesus your life? Where do you get your guidance from? He says, as Jesus is my salvation, who do you trust to rescue you when you get into a jam? Now, is it up yet, Ben? Okay. All right. So, I want to ask you, is Jesus your stronghold? What or who are you afraid of? Who or what are you confident in? David says, the Lord is my stronghold. He's the place I run to for safety. So, anybody here get fearful and afraid? Anybody want to share what they're afraid of on a daily basis? Some of them are
heights.
Huh?
Heights.
Heights. Afraid of heights. The other day we were down at the New River Gorge and we did a little hike on that view up there. And all of a sudden my beautiful wife she just goes into panic. When we're up on those cliffs, and there's Elijah walking along, there's me David says confidently, the Lord is my strongholds. So when we come and ask these questions, if I could ask Jesus, we need to realize that if we look in the right direction, we're going to get the answers, but we're not going to get the answers if we're looking everywhere else. Our questions are answered in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, in verse 4 and 5, it says, one thing I've asked of the Lord. In other words, we have to ask. In other words, that is a desire to be in relationship with God. You know, a lot of times people sit in church for a really, really long time, and they feel like they're kind of dried up and dead. They feel like, oh, this is, you know, my time card in, you know, punch it in the back, and I'll sing a few songs. If they're not my favorite, I'll kind of just frown, and if the pastor gets up, I'll pretend like I'm listening, and then, you know, if he walks behind where someone's headed, I'll drift off, and I'll can't wait for this thing to be over with. But you know why that happens? It's because we stop asking for God to move in our lives. We stop asking. We stop seeking after the Lord. And so we have to ask and we have to seek. In other words, commit our lives to searching for God's answers in our lives. So as we continue down this walk, we have to ask and we have to seek. Now in Acts 17, verse 11, it gives a group of people called the Bereans. And it says these Berean people were more noble because they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul says was true. Now, can you imagine, in some countries, they get up and they walk on foot for 3 miles, 4 miles, just to hear the Word of God, and they will sit there all day long to listen to the Word of God because they can't get enough of it. This is the kind of seeking and lifestyle that God has called us to. And since He's revealed Himself in His Word, the questions that we have, we're going to find the answers to here. Now, I'm going to say, well, you know what? There's some questions that I don't know. You know, throughout history, the joke has been, and theologians would sit and argue, is how many angels can stand on the head of a needle? Ever asked that question before? Does anybody know? Is that found in the Bible? Probably not. Who cares? But some of our questions are left to mystery for a purpose. You know what? He's God and we're not. So if we were God, He would know everything God gives. But He's given us revelation enough to know Him. Enough to be able to enjoy Him. So some of our questions, if they are not found in the Bible, they will be answered when we get to heaven. And some of those are usually things that really don't matter that you're going to find. But the things that matter are fine. And all those questions that you guys ask, they are found in the Bible. Those answers. So you ask some really good questions. So our purpose, if we look at our relationship with God, what is the purpose of our relationship with God? Number one, it's to dwell with Him. He says, I want to dwell with God forever. Now, if I say I'm going to dwell with somebody, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to just say, hey, I just came over to get dinner. Yeah, I'm going home as soon as dinner's over. Right? Settled in. I mean, there's prints in all the chairs in the house where I've settled in. You know, that is the picture here. God invites us to settle in with Him and to be close to Him. How about that word inquire? I like that word inquire. Because it means, literally, if you want to go into the depths of it, it covers So your questions for Jesus, it's like, oh, I'm so good. The second part of that, it's like the breaking forth of light. Have you ever walked in a dark room and stumbled around and finally you found the light switch and the light breaks in the room and say, oh, now I can see where I know I'm going. Now I can see why I shut myself. It's the breaking forth of light. So it's giving into God's Word so excitedly that until the light begins to shine, it's asking those questions in your heart until you know what the answer. You know, most people nowadays, most in this generation you will see, will ask a question, and then if they don't get the answer right away, they just give up. They move on to something else. Well, I'm just going to play my video game to pass the time. But there's more to life if we plow, you'll find the answer. You know what the difference is with people that are on fire for God and people that are the pros and chosen in the pews? It's because they're not plowing. They're not seeking after God. We have churches full of people. Some in their 20s, some in their 80s and 90s that haven't moved an inch since they say they accepted Jesus Christ. And then wonder why church is boring. Because I haven't plowed, I haven't continued to ask those questions until I've gotten the answer. It also has the meaning of investigating. So not only to dwell in the choir, the purpose of our relationship, it says, to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. This is what David was asking. He was the king. He was chased by a lot of enemies. He was in a lot of trouble and a lot of times. And you know, the one thing that he wanted the most was, you would think, what if I were to take you out in the wilderness and drop you off? What would you miss the most if you were in the middle of the forest? What would you miss the most if I dropped you off? Huh? A phone. What happens to the computers and all the satellites crash? We're in trouble. What else? Somebody else tell me, what would you miss the most? You drop a temporary.
Hot shower.
A hot shower.
I'm
going to
say bathroom facilities, period.
Bathroom facilities, period.
Yeah.
My very own bed. You know, when David's enemies were against him, he was running out in the forest and in caves. But you know what he missed the most? It's found in this psalm. He said, if only I could be back in Jerusalem in the temple of God, worshiping him and gazing upon his beauty in that way that our people worships Yahweh, worships God. That's the one thing that he wanted to get back to. That's quite remarkable. He says, one thing I ask. Not for toilet, not for a shower, not for food, not for an iPhone. I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You might say, well, that sounds a little stuffy to me. That sounds a little bit archaic to me. But if God, if it's true that God created us to be in relationship with Him, to be in connection with Him, you will search your whole life and never be happy and satisfied until the one thing that matters. Remember Mary and Martha? Jesus said only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better. To sit at my feet, inquire, to investigate, to know more about me. To gaze at Him. And that word gaze in the Bible means to have a divine revelation, to mentally perceive and contemplate with pleasure. I would encourage you sometimes, like in Revelation chapter 1 and 2, where it gives the description of what Jesus looks like, shining in all of His glory, is to maybe sit there sometime and read that and think about that. All of a sudden you're going to say, wow, I'm picturing this in my mind, it's too great to even imagine what Jesus looks like. Wow, I'm looking at the scripture where it says that I would gaze on the beauty of the Lord. What is the beauty of the Lord? You have to go to Him and ask to find out. When I first met Tanya, it was at the Union Mission when she was a kid, those of you that don't know. if you start to take a little closer look and you start to settle in and abide with Jesus, you're going to be blown away. David said, I'm going to hide in Him. And that's allowing God to cover and protect you. So, what are the pleasures of being in the relationship with the one true God?
Now, when I was growing up, how many had the idea of being in church and being God's family? You just had to sit still and be good and mind your P's and Q's, whatever those were. I don't know if there were letters of the alphabet. You're supposed to be seen and not heard. You're supposed to read your Bible and do your devotions, right? And I got points for doing my devotions in the youth group. And it became kind of like a drudgery sort of thing. That's because I had forgotten and I had lost the fact that where David says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus was with His disciples. It says every time it says in the Bible that He marveled at them. That's in King James, but another version where Jesus was stunned by what Peter said. That means He chuckled. He laughed. You don't think that some of the goofy things the disciples did that Jesus was like, you don't think when the children came that Jesus said, come and sit on my lap. He was up dancing with the children. He's full of joy. He's full of life. He's beautiful. So the problem is not that God is stuffy. The problem is that we've replaced God with religion. We replaced God with what we thought things were to be. He's beautiful. He will keep us safe in His shelter. He will position us above His enemies. And notice what it says there in verse 6. He says, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. And He knew that He was to be ashamed. And I will offer in this tent, he had to live in a tent at this time, sacrifices which I will go. I can't go and be in the temple, but I'm going to declare this tent, this place where it's in the middle of the woods, as a place where I can offer up shouts of joy. And I will sing and make melody to the Lord. How many times do you offer up shouts of joy in your tent? Could it be that you're worshiping a God of your own making and not the one and true, only true God? Because, man, when we get a picture of who He is, it's going to make you want to shout. And don't tell me that you're shy and you're a quiet, reserved person, because I've seen a lot of quiet and shy, reserved persons at ball games, at basketball games, getting up and yelling when the ref did a bad call. You're not a quiet, shy person. God gave you emotions to express. And why not enjoy God? There's going to be all kinds of rejoicing going on in heaven when we get there. Some will be on their face at the altar. Some will be dancing. Some will be shouting. Some will be in tears of joy. But it's all an expression of who we are at the beauty of Jesus Christ. We become stoic when we stop looking and we stop cultivating that relationship with Him. We become bored with church when we just say, Jesus, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Now, you would never tell people that in church. Oh, I love the Lord. That's one time comes. I love Jesus so much. Do, does Jesus suck on lemons with you? I don't think He does. How do we maintain an enjoyable relationship with God? Look in verse 7. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. Listen to your heart's cry. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Young people and old alike, in between. And whether you think you're young or old, we're in denial sometimes. And I try to imagine I'm still in my 20s, but it's just happening.
encourage you to do this. Listen to your heart's cry. When it comes to you and God, what do you really want? And in fact, Jesus asked his disciples this question, what do you want me to do? What do you want? Is he right there waiting and willing to speak to you, to love you, and to wrap his arms around you, to protect you, if we see God's face? So how do we maintain? We listen to our heart's cry. We seek God's face. We realize that God will always take us in. Did you like that verse there? You have been my help, cast me out, forsake me, God, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me. How many of you have been in a place where you, don't raise your hands, please don't, but I want you to think about this. Your own mother, your own father, your own family, your best friend, forsaken you. I have. Knocking on all the doors of the friends and of the iPods and the phones, and those still don't make me happy, Jesus said, I've been waiting for you this whole time. I've been waiting for you this whole time. Back in Revelation, a lot of people misinterpret this scripture where it says, I stand at the door and knock. People say, yes, Jesus wants to come in and enter into your heart and salvation. No, he's already talking to believers. It's talking to people that already have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus saying, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to meet with you. I want to be close to you. We have to have a teachable attitude and increase our confidence in the goodness God. He says in verse 13, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to close with this passage of Scripture. Because you might be thinking, as I have many times, and Tanya's heard it many times, what is the purpose of life? I know God and I love God, but I get up every morning and I brush my teeth in the same way, and I put my clothes on the same way, I eat the same breakfast, and I do the same routine, and I go study, and then I go preach, and then I go do this, and then I go. It's the same thing, it's the same thing. What is the purpose? Where is the joy? Where is the gladness? Well, the wisest man on earth figured it out with a look at Ecclesiastes. And I want to read this. Listen carefully, because this is the key to this series of questions for Jesus. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18 to 20 says, then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink, and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his law. So he's first of all saying, I eat, I drink, I toil, I work. This is what God's giving me to do. God's placing you here, whatever job it is, wherever school you're at, whatever home life you have, that's your law that God has given you. Moreover, listen carefully, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his law and be happy in his work, this is the gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. Listen to that again. He seldom sits, and now let me put it in my own word, and pines about how monotonous life is because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. If I'm focused on the one thing, that's why David was so desperately praying, one thing I would ask, that I would gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and dwell in heaven. This is the one thing that brings joy to everything we do, to our eating, to our drinking, to our schoolwork, to our study, to our jobs, to everything that happens in our life, to our home life even. What brings joy in the midst of being abandoned and lonely is that Jesus is my one thing, and He gladdens my heart and gives me life in my soul where there is no life. to the darkness from the inside out. That is why David prayed, one thing I ask and seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What pursuits will you abandon today for the one thing? Says, put yourself in the blind man's shoes.